answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers!
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA. I woke up this morning, got myself a gun. Mama always
said I'd be the chosen one. Every day, the Biden body bags are building up and more people are dying. More and more children are being brutalized. More and more women are being sexually assaulted. And I got to say, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, Chuck Schumer, the Democrats in office, they do not care. This is deliberate. You know, look, you talk about Laken Riley, a beautiful 22-year-old nursing student in Georgia, murdered. And I'm here to tell you right now that is the direct result of policy and political decisions by Joe Biden and by Democrats.
It is their direct result. Oh, they want to wash their hands of that blood and the blood of all the Americans who've been killed by illegals, either intentionally killed or manslaughter by driving while drunk, or bringing in fentanyl, or trafficking kids and handing them over to sex dens or slave labor. That's happening in our nation. What has happened? Well, we turned our back on God for a lot, and we've allowed this craziness continue and accelerate because too many people are too fearful to speak out. And you can take God out of the equation if you want. I don't want to, but let's say you do. You at least need a moral compass for a nation and for individuals. We don't have that. We don't have it. We have politicians so anxious to get votes, thinking that if we can get illegals in, they will bring nothing but great things for our nation. They have not. Many have come in and intend no physical direct harm to you or your family or our nation, but they're sucking up resources that are taking it from you, your family, your children, and our nation. Because we have an open border. And, of course, mixed in with them are thugs, criminals, and more than likely numerous terrorists. Senator Ted Cruz is exactly right. The body bags continue piling up, and the Biden administration just doesn't care. I'll outline that in more detail for you as we move forward. Thank you for joining us. This is Feb 27, 2024, the first hour of two of Larry Connors USA, right here for you every Monday through Friday night from 6 to 8 p.m. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you sharing the word. If by chance you can't listen, we have a place where you get a podcast. Let me take a moment to remind you that also when we're on the air, we are streaming video at News Talk STL, Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Rumble, Facebook, and Twitter. Choose whichever platform you want. We're glad to have you. But as I said, if you miss any part of the program or you want to go back and play it again or you want to share it with others, which I always encourage, you can find each program, audio and video, at Larry Connors USA, Facebook, and LarryConnorsUSA.com. All right, back to what Senator Cruz was saying, that this White House doesn't really care as the body bags are piling up. I want to read to you the statement that was issued by the White House the other day after the death of 22-year-old Laken Hope Riley. Laken Hope Riley. When her parents named her, and that middle name of Hope, I don't know the real intent for it, but I know their dreams for her that child. They came to end the other day as the young nursing student just beginning her medical studies on the honor roll was attacked and killed. The statement from the White House: we would like to extend our deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of Laken Hope Riley. People should be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law if they're found to be guilty. The suspect arrested is an illegal. But this was kind of an indifferent, just copy something and get it out there from the White House. This is not the kind of response we saw with the death of George Floyd. Yes, the circumstances were different, but does it mean anything to the family of Laken Hope Riley? Now, again, as you well know, Senator Ted Cruz is an attorney. He is quickly condemning, convicting the suspect, which I'm against, and yet at the same time, based on the evidence police say they have, we're talking about an illegal who entered our country, and we had numerous times to stop him before he got to Georgia and committed this crime, if in fact he did. Senator Cruz.
Number one, he came in illegally to this country. The Biden administration apprehended him. You know what they should have done? They should have put him on a plane and sent him back to Venezuela immediately, but they didn't. Joe Biden decided to let him go, just to release him. So they released the murderer. But then the murderer goes to New York City, and what happens? He's arrested for endangering the safety of a child. And then what happens? The Democrats in New York City, they let him go. And they don't inform the federal officials. They don't want him deported because New York City is proudly a sanctuary city. So they let him go again. And he comes down to Georgia and he murders that young woman.
Now, again, Senator Cruz is a lawyer. And he knows at this point, this Venezuelan illegal is charged, not convicted. But he's letting his emotions run ahead of him. And I understand. You don't factually convict someone simply on a charge, even if they're an illegal. I know that's going to set some of you off, but you have to stick to law and order. The Democrats, in the meantime, are trying to blame the GOP for all the chaos we have on the border. And Joe Biden is set to make a trip to the border Thursday. Same day that Donald Trump is scheduled to go. Trump had scheduled his visit prior to the Biden White House announcing, we're going on Thursday. Trump is going on Thursday. Biden's going on Thursday. You see what they're doing? They think, oh, we get down there, we get a great photo op, and we'll show that we're concerned. The last photo op I saw of Biden when he went down there, they had sanitized the area, getting all the illegals out of sight, and he's simply walking along a tall fence with Border Patrol agents. It was a great photo op. That's all it was. But now the Democrats are still trying to say, you have chaos at the border, then you have to blame the Republicans, because Republicans would not pass the Senate border package. Molly Hemingway of The Federalist explains why.
The fact that Joe Biden loved that Senate border bill tells you really everything you need to know about it. No, you know, you did not see support coming from people who really want to secure the border, who do not want to codify into law all of the things that President Biden did through his executive actions. And of course, even he's admitting now that he said that he couldn't do anything when they were discussing that Senate border bill, which wasn't really a border bill. It was really a Ukraine funding bill. And now he's admitting that there are all sorts of executive actions he can take. But this is an issue that is of prime importance to a lot of voters, both Republican and Democrat. And he really has kind of sealed his fate with the years of actions that he's taken to keep that border open.
And now he's going to go down to the border, and supposedly he has already made plans for sweeping sanctions, executive sanctions he's going to employ. But he's not going to do it, not even going to bring it to full light until the State of the Union address in March. Why not? Well, if you've got something that would put a halt to the criminal activity coming into the country, why would you wait? You just want a bully pulpit. You want a chance to show and have the nation watching you as you present. And what he's going to present is basically what Trump had in place before Biden came in. And to that extent, Senator Cruz says, if these Democrats believe the populace is going to buy the fact that Republicans are to blame. He said, listen to my story.
I did a town hall down in Laredo. I actually did it with the Democratic mayor in Laredo and the Democratic county judge in Laredo. And what's interesting is in Texas, Democrats and Republicans can work together reasonably. Nobody in South Texas can defend what's happening at our border. There aren't Democrats who can defend it, because when you see the dead bodies, when you see the women and children brutalized, when you see the people dying of drug overdoses, there is no defense. And I got to say, yesterday when I was down on the border, they asked me, do you have anything to say to Joe Biden? I said, come to the border. He announced today he is coming to the border, but I'm here to predict he's going to do what he did in El Paso, which is hide every illegal immigrant and put on a photo op that's fundamentally deceptive.
Absolutely deceptive. Now, Biden plans to be in Eagle Pass and also Brownsville. He's going to be in Brownsville, which is going to be 300 miles from Eagle Pass, which apparently is where Trump is going to be, but subject to change because he's got to make sure he stays in front of Trump. Another Democrat deception, as Cruz was referring to in this case, is trying to make you believe that food is costing you more, not because of Bidenomics, no, but because of shrinkage. In other words, companies are having to sell smaller packages for the same price, hoping that you won't notice. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy.
I did not think that President Obama was a very good president. But compared to President Biden, President Obama just shoplifted. President Biden stole the whole bank. President Biden's inflation not only hurts people, but it hurts businesses. Shrinkflation exists when a business needs to raise its prices because its costs have gone up as a result of inflation, but it's scared to raise its prices because it's scared people won't buy its product. So it saves money by making a smaller product. Unless you were homeschooled by a day drinker, you can see that shrinkflation and inflation are just different sides of the same coin.
Unless you're homeschooled by a day drinker, Senator Kennedy. Wall Street Journal put it out this way the other day. And you probably already know what I'm going to tell you, but this should validate it for you as it comes from the Wall Street Journal. It's been 30 years since buying food took as much of your income. Whatever you're bringing in, it's been 30 years since you had to spend as much as you are out of your income for food. And Bidenomics is a key part of it. But again, the issue of basically trying to repackage your goods, putting fewer cookies in the container, making it a little smaller, fewer chips, but more air inside the bag. You as a consumer begin to realize you're not getting what you originally used to get. If something says it's a quart of milk, it will be a quart of milk. If you look at some of the packaging coming out now, and it says X grams or whatever it is inside, if you have some of the old bags around or some that you haven't opened yet, and they feel a little heavier, check and see what they say about how many grams are inside of that particular item. But they actually believe that you're stupid. And again, Louisiana Senator John Kennedy puts it in perfect perspective.
Any economist, any reputable economist who didn't get his degree from Costco will tell you that President Biden's economic policies caused both inflation and shrinkflation. Now, I don't hate anyone, and that includes President Biden. But when he tries to blame shrinkflation and inflation on small business people, you have to consider the source. So much of the attention right now is on President Biden's age. And it's true that it takes longer than a trip to Jupiter for him to walk across the stage. But we can't lose sight of the fact that his economic policies have been almost every time reliably and dependably wrong. And his inflation is a cancer on the American dream.
Well, he might have exaggerated a little bit, saying it takes longer for Biden to walk across the stage and for us to get to Jupiter. But the point is clearly made. He also made the point that it shouldn't be a focus this time around on Biden's age. That's going to play a factor in it. And I'll discuss that again later. But we need to be looking at issues and policies which affect you and your family. And by every poll that's been taken, you're looking at food prices as a big concern and, of course, the open border. I'm looking at a piece that was written by Helen Raleigh for The Federalist, and they are referring to a report that states, it's a new study by the Buckeye Institute, warning that food will become even more unaffordable if Biden or any other Democrat wins the White House this November, partly due to their destructive climate policies. The Wall Street Journal reporting that based on data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, food spending ate up 11.3% of American household disposable income in 2022. And as I was saying earlier, the last time Americans spent so much on food was 30 years ago. Well, who was president then, 30 years ago? That would be 1991. George H.W. Bush was president. And the fraction of household disposal income devoted to food, according to Helen Raleigh in her piece, and I agree, reflects a nation's wealth. People in rich nations spend a smaller fraction of their income on food than those in poor countries. That's just understandable. You need housing, you need food. If you don't get a lot, well, then you need to spend more on the food. Anyway, you might be able to find a way to lessen your cost of housing, moving in with someone, but still eating. Well, guess you eat less, or the children are not getting as much food, or the adults go starving for a day. This article points out that in Canada, in showing the disparity between, quote, first world countries and third world. This is a 2014 report. Canadians spent less than 10% of their income on food in 2014. In Nigeria, 55%. Next hour, more on Bidenomics hurting Americas, and we're also going to have Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith on Blue City, Blue State Crime Acceleration. Before this hour is over, political strategist James Carville on how to beat Donald Trump. But up next, my guest insists the Senate impeach Mayorkas. Not just play the game, but impeach him. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. 4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30 on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed rate mortgages like that. They're all variable rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me, nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I'd like to address your dangerous sanctuary city policies. I'd like to show you a picture here. It's Kate Steinle. She was murdered by an illegal alien who had been deported 5 times and over 6 felony convictions. But for some reason, the city of San Francisco let this guy out. You guys aren't even looking. Look at the picture. You afraid? You guys don't have anything to say?
Thank you very much. Next speaker, please.
That is the most disgusting thing that I'd ever seen. I thought it was worth replaying. That's Jesse Waters when he's working for the O'Reilly Factor, appearing in front of the San Francisco City Council, pointing out that the man who shot Kate Steinle as she's walking with her father on the San Francisco pier was shot by an illegal who'd been deported 5 times. He's holding up her picture. And the camera scanning the council, they've got their heads buried in paper. They will not even look up at the picture of the young woman. I sound angry and mad. I am. Helping cool me down is the Heritage Foundation expert on immigration and our protecting our border, Laura Reese. Thank you for joining us again.
Well, thank you, Larry, but I don't know if I can calm you down either.
Yeah. Well, it does upset you, doesn't it? I mean, they would not even look up to see the picture of the young woman he's holding in front of them.
No, God forbid these elitists have a loved one of their own killed from somebody, by somebody who shouldn't have been here in the first place. And that's what these sanctuary policies are about. It's the elite's virtue signaling because they think they will be untouched by it. But given the volume, when we're talking 10 million people in 3 years that the Biden administration has encountered or even let in, and you combine that with the pro-crime leftist prosecutors and attorneys general who just release criminals immediately back onto the street, then we're talking about a lot more crime, a lot more death. And these elitists will be touched, if not personally, then they should be affected politically and their pocketbook as well.
Absolutely. All right, let's get to the issue I really want to discuss with you. The House has impeached Mayorkas as of Feb 13. Now it's the Senate's turn, and you're saying they actually need to go through with it, not have a charade. Explain.
Yes, it seems that Senator Schumer wants to dismiss impeachment of Mayorkas. So there's basically three options. He could send it to a impeachment committee where it could languish. He may do a one-day circus trial, so he could check the box and say, yes, I held a trial, but it would be rather meaningless. But what he really should do is a full impeachment trial. Americans deserve to see all of the evidence. And this administration and the infrastructure it has built among the NGOs and the sanctuary leaders is so opaque and so secretive and so destructive. Americans need to see the evidence, and the Senate should convict Mayorkas and remove him from not just this office, but any future office.
Now,
Americans
go ahead.
Should need to die before we get a response out of our members of Congress.
Absolutely. And I want to go back to the NGOs shortly, but just looking at the other items that you guys have detailed at the Heritage Foundation, which we all know, but again, it's good to reinforce. He's accountable for all of this, had 3 years to change course. He didn't. Been deceitful about it, hiding Americans of knowing about night flights to secretly dump illegals into unprepared communities and stuff like that. That when it was being done by Governor DeSantis or shipping buses, it was a wrong thing to do, and yet they were still doing it while DeSantis and Abbott were sending illegals north. You've got all this in front of you. There's no way they can do it, but of course, he can always just resign, or he can say, I'm following orders.
Well, if that's his excuse and he doesn't believe in those orders, then he should resign. But he doesn't resign because he is an ideologue. He fully believes in open borders. He's just deceitful about it and has lied about it for 3 years, claiming the border is secure and that they're taking it to, quote unquote, the cartels. All they're taking to the cartels are more customers and more money. And so Mayorkas absolutely warrants impeachment. This is why our founders created this tool. It's to remove people who are destructive to governance and to political order from office. And so we need to hear from more Americans. They need to contact Senator Schumer's office and others in Senate leadership and say, not only should you hold a trial, it should be a complete trial. We need to see all of the evidence.
So you're suggesting, and of course Schumer will be handling at, in the Senate, Mitch McConnell is useless for Republicans in general. Where do you expect to get support in the Senate to make sure it's done properly?
Well, there has been a letter signed by a few of the regular, reliable senators like Cruz and Lee and others to Senator Schumer saying, yes, we need a full trial. But we need remaining Republicans and even Democrats, thank Georgia, two Democrat senators who've been silent on the death of Lank and Riley. We need Americans all over the country to contact their senators and say, hold a real and full trial on Mayorkas.
Well,
a glaring example, just in this Larkin-Riley case, the alleged killer, Ibarra, was paroled in by Mayorkas. Now, Mayorkas claims, oh, we parole on a case-by-case basis. I'm not mass paroling people. Well, Americans deserve to see the Ibarra's case. Why did Mayorkas parole him into the country?
Good point. And a third of the Senate is up for re-election. But, of course, the intent is to have this done before they actually have to go get the votes. They have to know their constituents are watching.
Immigration, illegal immigration, border security is now the number one issue across the country, poll after poll after poll. Whether it's each state as they're holding their caucus and primary, I mean, we're Iowa, New Hampshire, those aren't states that you typically think of for border security. And yet, it was the number one issue. And so Democrats are in a bind. They don't support Mayorkas. They don't want to have to take a vote for him. They don't want to have to stand up on the record and defend this guy. And so I'm sure they're whispering in Schumer's ear, don't hold a trial, or at most hold a one-day trial. And that's why all of the senators need to hear from Americans that they are fed up and they want Mayorkas gone, and we need to see all of the evidence.
You're listening to Laura Reese with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on immigration, national security. You mentioned the NGOs earlier. That has continued to baffle me. In fact, we had a report yesterday that down in Ecuador, in that region, there's a group known as a Hebrew Institute NGO that's been taking care of migrants, helping get them ready, giving them maps and so forth to get to the U.S. Now, a lot of the NGOs might have started with a true, and Catholic Charities, with a true intent to help people, maybe not invade a country, but to take care of them. But the money they are stacking up, no one has an accounting of that to my knowledge. Am I wrong?
No. No, because it's so secretive. And so there are lots of pots of federal money going out through the Departments of State, DHS, Justice Department, Health and Human Services to these NGOs. And it is truly a web of secretive and extensive NGO infrastructure. And yet when they are confronted, these NGO representatives refuse to answer questions and will even become, they will assault the questioners. There, each week, it seems, there's another video of someone confronting these NGOs, whether it's at a hotel. For example, Rachel Campos Duffy went to a hotel in Tucson, Casa Alitas was the group. She started asking questions. They refused to answer. They, she was taking video of their computer. They slammed their computer. And then even assaulted the videographer later on. This is one example of a growing pattern of videos coming out where someone goes to ask these NGO representatives questions about what they're doing for sheltering all these illegal aliens or transporting them. And this is the response that is given time after time after time. And so Congress needs to defund these NGOs.
How do they get to be an NGO? Can I can form my own group, say, I'll take care of them, send me billions of dollars, I'll take care of it?
Well, and that's what I mean. But I think it would take an army of people to identify all of the organizations, this true web. So you take Catholic Charities, that's an umbrella term, but there are lots of Catholic organizations associated or affiliated with Catholic Charities, and they're all over the place. Repeat that for Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Services. Repeat that for HIAS, the Hebrew Immigrant Advocacy Service, which I think has now changed its name, et cetera, et cetera. And these groups, like you said, they started out in the traditional refugee volunteer agency process of bringing refugees, once a grant is a benefit overseas, to the U.S., briefly help them resettle and start their life as true refugees, and then, you know, wish them well and wave goodbye. They've gone from that to being addicted to these federal grants, and now they receive hundreds of millions of dollars every year through federal grants, and now they lobby for more money, they lobby for more immigration, and some of these groups get more money by far from the federal government than they do from church donations.
And I don't think it's being spent on the illegals. I think it's going for personal lifestyles and other issues. Laura Reese, as always, we thank you for your expertise.
Thank you for having me.
You bet we'll do it again. Laura Reese with the Heritage Foundation, an expert on immigration and, of course, the national security issue that's at stake. And speaking of the illegals and the crimes that are being committed once they come in the next hour, Sergeant Betsy Bradner Smith with the National Police Association will be joining us and giving us her take on what is happening right now. But coming up next, Hunter Biden is due to go before Congress behind closed doors. Is he going to actually testify, or does he have the Biden disease lately? Amnesia. I don't remember.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, "We are purchasing a new roof from John Beale, based on your recommendation." I thanked her then. I do it again now. "Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perish in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270. New specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL. This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, my co-producer Quinn picked the perfect song to get us into this one. Hunter Biden headed to the danger zone. And in fact, according to the Daily Mail, they've spotted him arriving at Dulles Airport last Sunday after he flew in from L.A. So he is scheduled to appear on Capitol Hill tomorrow for a closed-door questioning from the members of the House Oversight Judiciary Committee. And, of course, he is back this time to give evidence in the Republican Congress attempts to impeach his father. As the Daily Mail reports it, he looked healthy-looking and gave himself plenty of time to get settled into D.C., probably see a few people, make a few deals, whatever. I'm adding that. They didn't. They say he was surrounded by at least three Secret Service protectors, flew first-class seat on United Flight 1596 from Los Angeles. The Secret Service protection is afforded and warranted for a president's family. During the stay in Washington, he will be apparently staying at the White House, and then he will then speak to members of the Judiciary Oversight Ways and Means Committee, all of them having a role in the impeachment hearings. Now, if you recall, last December he was supposed to do this, but he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to go behind closed doors. I wanted everything out in the open. That was a BS statement. He was stalling. He did not want it all out in the open, but he wanted to say that if I go behind closed doors, you guys will make things up, say things I didn't say or suggest them. Oh, you mean like those who were testifying during the Adam Schiff impeachment hearings of Donald Trump would come out and say, well, I can't really tell you what I said or what's happening, but it's bad. It's really going to be bad for Trump. And they would go on the network news that evening, the likable, friendly, state-controlled media, and say, well, again, I can't really tell you details at this point, but everything I've seen and been presented, it looks bad for Trump. They were pushing the narrative before there's anything out. And Adam Schiff kept pushing that, I've got a witness that's going to really bring Trump down. Witness never presented. And I've got evidence. Never presented. and they still harp on a Russian collusion conspiracy. Just today, I'm looking at a piece from Eric Swalwell, who had a little thing going with Bang Bang, the Chinese spy, saying, you know, that you got to watch out for Trump because Russia might be involved with him again. They want to see him win. They're going to continue to recycle. You know, look, there are things we do recycle, and it's a good idea. And one of them would be very close to what we're discussing here and smell just as bad. That would be manure. Recycle, spread it on your mulch garden, whatever. Try to get some more growth out of it. If you could stand the smell around your house for a few days, it'll do great putting more nitrogen into your soil. So the appearance of Hunter Biden for tomorrow will be the most significant testimony to date for both congressional committees looking into him. And of course, keep in mind, you've got the leftists. They were going to do their best to ignore it or point out over and over again, hey, that FBI informant that James Comer and even Jim Jordan referred to, that he had knowledge of money being passed directly to Hunter and Joe Biden, that now he's been charged by the FBI for lying, and yet they had no problem with accepting him on other issues as his information was beyond question. Why is it suddenly under question and scrutiny now? You know, because the Bidens are the target. So I'm looking at a report as CNN is reporting this appearance scheduled for tomorrow. Sources familiar with the terms negotiated between Hunter Biden's team and congressional Republicans say the deposition will have several unique features different from the other interviews the committees have conducted to date. Well, what is that about? They point out, according to multiple sources, the deposition will not be videotaped. This was a concession from Republicans. Interviews with other Biden family business and related witnesses have all been taped. Now, two things here. One, when they say not being videotaped, that doesn't tell me they're not audio taping. And they have agreed to terms of the transcript release as a way to avoid selective leaks. I don't know why the Republicans would go along with this, because when they go to full public hearing, it's all going to be for everyone to see. And I would have held back on that, but get him in front of you. Let him have a chance to perjure himself and lay out details and roll over on daddy. Because if the heat gets strong enough, I wouldn't count on Hunter Biden to stand beside daddy. I wouldn't. The other part pointing out by CNN on how this is going to differ from some of the previous testimonies they've taken, reference those transcripts. James Comer's intention has always been to release transcripts as quickly as possible, but this time they're going to get a ranking member of the opposite party on the committee to sign off on releasing a transcript. And then they'll have to consider, do we redact any sensitive information, like names of congressional staffers? It would supposedly be released quickly, potentially within 24 hours. Hunter Biden's team has already expressed concern about Republicans taking parts of the interview out of context. Well, then why don't you want it videotaped? They can't splice and cut that up. Even with your best AI, you will see there's a difference. And Hunter Biden's team concerned that some parts would be taken out of context. The current agreement only assures that select video snippets cannot be circulated, but the full transcript will be publicly available. Hunter Biden's lawyers had insisted he would only testify publicly in the beginning, remember? Now there are no plans for a public hearing or discussions about holding one, according to multiple sources. That point right there, if that is fact, if CNN knows for sure that there are no plans for a public hearing or discussions after holding this private closed-door session, what the hell? Yes, we want it public. And James Comer would know that. And so would Jim Jordan. An Oversight Committee spokesman said the panels do intend to hold a public hearing, but the committees are currently in the deposition and interview phase and will eventually move to public hearing. So I don't know which one to believe here. I don't know what to tell you. It's confusing. It shouldn't be that confusing. You show up, you swear yourself in, swear you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and you sit there and you answer our questions. Whether we're recording it or we're not, you're under oath, subject to perjury. And then we're going to turn around and do the same thing in a public hearing for the entire nation, the world, to watch. But again, the one thing that the Democrats are going to try to poke and keep raising up, I would think almost what they might end up doing is just flat ignoring that Hunter Biden went behind closed doors as of tomorrow. But they will quickly point out that the FBI informant, Alexander Smirnoff, has been charged for making stuff up. Of course, Comer and Jim Jordan tried to downplay that part of it. Jordan wrote a lengthy post on Twitter yesterday laying out his case against the Bidens that did not mention bribery, did raise long debunked claims about Joe Biden, Burisma, and the firing of a Ukrainian prosecutor when Biden was vice president. I read that exactly as is written by CNN and NN. I didn't make those words up. The words when they say, but did raise long debunked claims, I don't know anything that's been debunked. Joe Biden himself said, I went over there and I told him, you want any money? You better get rid of that prosecutor looking into Burisma, the one my son's on. Or I'm leaving. I've got the ability and the money, and you doubt me, you call Obama. He'll tell you, I got the power. And I'm going to be on that jet, and I'm going to be gone. And son of a bitch, they ended up firing the guy. His own words are sinking him to that extent. The attorney for Hunter, Abby Lowell, is saying we are going to make sure that Hunter is properly protected, as he should. But he is going to have to appear before that hearing. I find it interesting that one part of the story about Hunter Biden has just kind of been misplaced a little bit. You hadn't heard much about it. We have discussed it a couple of times. You remember, of course, the cocaine found in the White House last year. Now, Hunter is not supposed to be doing any drugs of any type. That was part of his claim for not having to go to jail right away as they appeal some of the cases that are against him, one being the gun charge where he lied to get a gun. Cocaine found in the White House. No one's been able to say who left it there. Mr. Snowman, I don't know. And that cocaine residue was found on the gun holster that Hunter Biden had. Now, that's really here nor there on these charges and his deposition tomorrow. But all of this is some of the mass, the quick sand that surrounds Hunter Biden. And I hope he gets sucked under all the way along with his daddy for what they've been doing. Coming up, Democrat political strategist James Carville suggesting Democrats can beat Trump. if they gouge his eyes and kick him below the belt. In other words, a cage match. When we continue.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Democrats don't lose elections anymore. We haven't lost an election in the last year and a half. And we have an advantage right now, and we need to pummel him right now. And I used to have a saying when I ran campaigns, the more you pummel them, the more they plummet. And we got to jump on this abortion issue. We got to jump on this book burning issue. Run ads to these Nazi hags at school board meetings trying to ban Rosa Parks. Run all of the things, all the intrusive policies. A majority of the House Republicans want to codify the insane ruling out of the Alabama Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. Almost 90% of them voted against protecting women's right to contraception. Can you believe it? We're arguing about contraception in 2024.
That's James Carville in Louisiana. He's a Democrat strategist. He's the one who got Bill Clinton from Arkansas, the governor's office, right into the White House. He did. He did. He did. He gets all the credit for it and a bowl of grits to go with it. But here's Carville along with MSNBC's host Jen Psaki. Oh, you remember Circleback Psaki when she served as the White House press secretary. As bad as she was, my God, she was so much better than what they've got in there now with KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre. But here was Carville saying, can you imagine we're talking about contraception and things of that nature here in 2024? James, can you imagine we're talking about racism and Jew baiting and hating and genocide here in 2024? Across college campuses with the support of college presidents and many faculty. But again, he's saying, look, we can definitely take Trump down, but we got to use everything we got in our everything. We're going to jump in the ring and we're just going to go for him. James Carville.
Get on him. You got a financial advantage. You have a political advantage. Jump in and just start kicking them and hitting them and anything that you can do, because push this advantage as hard as you can get it. That's what I think we ought to do. We ought to be really, really aggressive.
Really, really aggressive. I'm just wondering if someone on the conservative side had made such a remark about Biden that, yeah, we got him against the ropes, but we still need to get in there and we need to pummel him. We need to hit him. We need to just go right after him. Knock him out. I mean, just continue to pummel him. Do you imagine that you'd hear cries of shock and fear and I need my safe space and coloring book from the leftist? I do. They had no problem about calling out for violence in words as he expressed against Republicans, but don't you dare use those kinds of words reference any Democrat candidate. That suggests you're talking about harming them, physically harming them. It is politics, and if I tell you it's not personal, I would be wrong. It is always personal, especially somebody tells you it's not personal, Larry. It's personal. I take it that way at the poker table every day. You don't want to miss the second hour, Sergeant Betsy Brantner-Smith on the illegals. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.